future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I will be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. There's so much going on and so much happening at the minute. You've got Shane Kehoe, co-founder of SVK Crypto, over in Hong Kong for Hong Kong Blockchain Week. And he will also be speaking, or he'll be moderating a panel for Token 2049. So I fly out this weekend, really excited, looking forward to getting over there and meeting so many of the listeners from Hong Kong. So if you haven't already, hit me up. Let's arrange a meet and greet. Feel free to email me, cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y, at svkcrypto.com, or hit us up on Telegram. Our Telegram page is svkcrowd. If you type that in, you will find us. So with that in mind, let's get down to business and let's get into it. So there's been lots of stories at the minute in regards to Iran. It's been making the crypto headways. So Bitcoin's Lightning Torch enters Iran as payment experiment blazes on. Bitcoin's Lightning Torch, an ongoing experiment meant to test and showcase the next generation of payments technology, now is in beta stage and has officially made it a user in Iran. So the Lightning Torch finds Bitcoin users testing out the network by passing around a small amount, each adding roughly 30 cents of Bitcoin before passing it on, such as the payment to Zia Sadar on Sunday marks the latest milestone in a six-week-long effort that has seen participation from Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey and LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman, among other tech pioneers within the space. So yet the payment to Sadar is notable, given the question and international sanctions had begun to impact the exercise. One of the goals of the efforts is to demonstrate Bitcoin's power as a global payment system that can be sent anywhere, and the torch has smoothly passed through at least 40 countries so far. Yet, the Lightning Torch creator, HODLNAUT, told media sources, HODLNAUT is his online username, that the question of whether the torch could be passed to Iran has proved an obstacle. The cooling effect of US sanctions seemed to be a big factor, he said. Indeed, despite early efforts to participate, Sadar kept on being passed over a receipt. One user even decided to pass it on to someone else over concerns it might violate US sanctions. That the torch couldn't get to Iran seems to betray the game's principles. So when it finally got to Sunday morning in Iran, participants responded with excitement to the news. The LTN trust chain torch is lit in Tehran. Sadar tweeted confirming he was sent the payment by BitOing, a prestigious Bitcoin enthusiast from Wales. In an interview, BitOing noted his feelings too. They had helped further the Lightning Torch experiment by proving the strengths of the technology in international value transfer. I see Bitcoin as the great leveler of human affairs, the ultimate tool for nonviolent resistance. That's what he said. He also went on to say, when I saw Zia asking for the torch, it was clear what I needed to do. So he basically sent through the payment, even though there was US sanctions there. That said, BitOing, which is his username, also ran into other obstacles in trying to make the payment, meaning some Twitter users were celebrating the torch's arrival a bit early. We hit a technical dead end last night and went to bed. They'll be waking up soon and we'll finish the process, BitOing told media sources. The payment, however, did make it to his intended target. But Sadar proposing the torch continued to be sent to others, promoting censorship resistance with the privacy-focused browser Tor. Other users seem to agree with the sentiment and proposed direction of the experiment. It's great to see that finally someone had the balls. Keep it to the real cypherpunks. I love that. I think it's really interesting they had issues sending it to Iran, and it was more the fact that people didn't really want to send it over that way. They didn't want their account to kind of flag up in any way, shape, or form. And I don't think it really helped the fact that everyone was kind of broadcasting the announcement on Twitter, so everyone knew who was sending the address and where they could be tracked and located. I think they could have done it a little bit smoother or a little bit less attention on themselves. But I think all in all, the ability to transfer value throughout the world and around the world and not being censorship resistant is what's key, and that really came through with this project. So let's talk about Monero. There's a story that's just been released that Monero wallet bug potentially enables exchange hacks. Team prepares patch release. So a bug in Monero XMR wallet software that could enable fake deposits to exchanges has recently brought to public attention through a Medium post. Published by the official RYO account today. According to the post, an email reportedly sent to Monero announcing mailing list warns exchanges and service operators using the coin that Monero vulnerability response team received a disclosure concerning a vulnerability. The vulnerability consists of the mishandling of outputs in Coinbase transactions. The first transaction in a block, always made by miners. This mishandling could potentially allow attacker to fake the deposits on an arbitrary amount. That's not good in any way, shape, or form. To XMR to an exchange. Still, the email also contained parameters for the wallet, which are effectively a workaround preventing the vulnerability from being exploited. The official Monero profile also tweeted the same workaround today as well. About 10 hours later, the Monero account tweeted that the fix of the vulnerability has been written and was awaiting review from the GitHub page dedicated to the patch. It appears that the code has already merged within the main branch, which means that the fix is ready and only needs to be released to the published and published itself. So RYO, which is a cryptocurrency derived from Monero, reports in its Medium post that its team fixed this vulnerability 7 months ago. The post justifies the lack of responsible disclosure towards the Monero team earlier by noting Monero's long history of toxic behavior towards security researchers. Furthermore, the post claims that when discussing the exploit in the RYO public channel, the author of the post accidentally also disclosed a different issue, concluding, Monero want to get that one patch too. I mean, this is really interesting because Monero have had a lot of flack recently with regards to not really just being quite aggressive against anyone that wants to question Monero in their doings. And I don't think this really helps in any way, shape, or form, having a security issue like this, a breach, and basically shutting people down. I think that, you know, you need to be very transparent, which I guess is quite ironic against a privacy coin, but you need to be transparent of how everything works. You can't have a team that's against anyone that comes in and criticizes, especially publicly, against Monero as well. So I think they really need to sort that out, and it'll be really interesting to see what goes on in regards to their future progress and maybe their change of outlook. So Coinbase has been making the rounds today as well. So Coinbase, former provider, sold user data to third parties, promoting new Trino acquisition. So this is really interesting. Christine Sandler, Coinbase's Director of Institutional Sales, has defended the cryptocurrency's controversial acquisition of blockchain intelligence firm Neutrino. In an interview with financial news channel Cheddar on March 1st, Sandler said that previous client data providers were selling Coinbase user data to outside sources. As reported, major United States crypto exchange and wallet provider Coinbase first announced the Neutrino acquisition on February 19th, saying that it would make the most of the startup's advanced blockchain analytics tool, anti-money laundering and know your customer technology, KYC. The move swiftly became controversial as details of Neutrino's co-founders' backgrounds came to light. And this is really interesting. So specifically, their prior involvement with commercial software firm Hacking Team, whose spyware has reportedly been used by a broad canopy of international governments and law enforcement agencies, with authoritarian regimes alleged among them, so dictators. In response to the crypto community's thorough anger and anguish over these connections, which spawned the hashtag delete Coinbase hashtag. In actual fact, Sandler defended the exchange's decision, telling Cheddar that it was important to leave their current providers due to their data selling practices. And this is what she said. We are aware of the backgrounds of some of the folks that were involved in Neutrino. It was important for us to mitigate away from the current providers. They were selling client data to different outside sources, and it was compelling for us to get control over that and have proprietary technology that we could leverage to keep the data safe and protect our clients. Characterizing Neutrino's technology as really industry-leading and best-in-class, Sandler said that the acquisition represented a decision to bring these tools in-house, downplaying the importance of the talent and senior employees' history. Sandler also gave a mention to Coinbase Pro's decision to list XRP, Ripple, whose ambiguous status in the US as a possible security token has complicated its listing on the California headquarters exchange. Sandler clarified that that Coinbase's acquisition of a broker-dealer, Keystone, in June 2018 enables the platform to list securities, adding, "There have been a groundswell of interest in adding the asset to the platform. There was some speculation about whether the asset would be classified as a security or not. We're not security lawyers. We felt there was compelling arguments on either side." As recently reported, Ripple's head of markets has taken to social media to emphasize that Coinbase's decision to list XRP was an independent one, countering rumors that Ripple had either paid or offered the exchange an incentive to do so. So it's really interesting. A lot of people out there on Twitter, I'm not saying this is true or false, but saying that Ripple paid Coinbase in Ripple tokens, right? So on the back of the announcement that they would list Ripple, the price of Ripple would what? It would appreciate in value, go up, meaning that Coinbase's position in the tokens would also appreciate in value as well. Now, how true this is, I haven't seen any actual factual evidence of this. I've just seen kind of different people saying different things on a few different mediums online. But the point is, the thought is out there. So unless they prove a way to prove otherwise, then that will be kind of the thought that will be held there for the rest of Ripple's kind of trading career on Coinbase. So it's really interesting. I know the community were a little bit, I don't think anyone really saw it coming. I think people didn't think that Coinbase would do that. I think they had more kind of self-control and I guess a lot of people just hate Ripple in the community, which I don't, you know, Ripple has many applications. Is it really decentralized? No, it isn't. But that's okay because they're doing many great things and bringing institutional awareness into the space by going out there and really providing an education platform to explain the advantages of blockchain and their own technology. So, you know, on one side, they're doing a lot of good things, but the other side, I don't think they're a pure decentralization play, and I don't really think they're really marketing themselves to be that as well. All right, up next, Bahamas Central Bank announces key tech providers for upcoming digital currency pilot. This is key because Bahamas is an offshore haven for offshore money, which basically means a lot of people store money there who haven't paid tax on their capital as of yet. So maybe a cryptocurrency type play, I'm not saying that to avoid taxes, but maybe to incentivize people to buy the cryptocurrency and pay less tax would be interesting. So let's find out more. The Central Bank of the Bahamas has announced its key collaborators for the development of a digital fiat currency system in the island country. According to an official document released on March 1st called Project Sand Dollar, the new initiative intends to provide equal access to digital payment capacity and capabilities, reducing cash transactions and service delivery costs. The pilot aims to improve operational efficiency and overall financial inclusion in communities across the Bahamas. In order to implement the project, the Bahamas Central Bank will reportedly cooperate transaction provider NZIA.io, bringing together the collective know-how of the expertise of IBM and Zenesis. Zenesis is a Singapore-based software development firm offering blockchain solutions. The Bahama Bank stated it will start talks with NZIA in order to agree on the final terms of the scope of the collaboration. In the announcement, the Bahamas Central Bank also noted the upcoming digital fiat currency will comply with the local regulations, including the draft regulatory central bank of the Bahamas Bill 2019. The regulatory framework is set to include policies against money laundering and terrorist financing, as well as specifications to ensure the digital currencies complementary status to that of traditional adopter banking systems. You know, this is really interesting. As I said, a lot of money stored offshore, especially in the Bahamas. You know, a way maybe to integrate an incentive layer for people to buy the digital currency itself, maybe not on a speculation basis, but maybe on a, they're being incentivized to do so because they reduce costs in a certain way, shape, or form. This could really have value and really have impact because people want to save money. That's why it's in the Bahamas in the first place. So this is something that we're definitely going to be keeping a close eye on, and it's interesting to see what come through. So with that in mind, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. I hope you enjoyed this podcast today. We've really kind of focused on the fundamentals, what's going on, what's going down, what you need to know. If you enjoyed today's show, Feel free, if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast. It brings a big smile onto all of our faces here at SVK Crypto here in London town. Feel free to let us know in the Telegram group, SVK Crowd. And if you have any questions or queries, feel free to email myself, cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y, at svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap, and I've got to bounce.